This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
Welcome to the Innovation Economy Podcast, where we look at the factors that drive business growth, including how people, processes, platforms, and places work together to create the future of work. I'm your co-host, Greg Kilstrom, advisor and consultant for Fortune 1000 brands as principal and chief strategist at GK5A, and best-selling author and speaker, and host of the award-winning podcast, The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom. This episode is part of our Inspiration Plus Location series, where we look at what it's like to build businesses, work, and live in an innovative place, and the role of location in a hyper-connected, hybrid work world. The Innovation Economy Inspiration Plus Location podcast series is brought to you by Arlington Economic Development, representing Arlington, Virginia, which is one of the most dynamic economic hubs in America, with resources for businesses from the Fortune 500 to startups and everything in between. You can learn more about them at www.arlingtoneconomicdevelopment.com. To listen to the latest episodes or sign up for the Innovation Economy newsletter, go to innovationeconomy.show or click follow on your favorite podcast app to make sure you hear the latest episodes. And now on to the show. Today, we're going to talk about the role of the arts in a community that serves businesses, employees, residents, and visitors. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Alyssa Maru, Associate Curator at Mason Exhibitions, Arlington, at George Mason University. Alyssa, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself, as well as your role at Exhibitions Arlington.
Sure. So my little zigzag resume is I have a lot of years of experience producing festivals, programming, performing arts, and more recently visual arts. So I started out performing, doing performance arts with the National Cherry Blossom Festival, where I produced their parade for several years and also their 16-day stage by the Tidal Basin. After that, I also was able to bring a festival that still is happening to this day called Art All Night. I was the director of logistics for several years for that festival. And that's a late night festival of arts and culture started in DC, well, started in France, but brought to DC. And it's been about 15 years since we brought it, and it still continues on. So happy that has a new life. I also was the director at DuPont Underground, which is a really cool space, which is a subterranean old streetcar space that was turned into an art gallery event venue that does cool projections and murals. And then I also most recently kind of ventured into visual and public art at the DC Commission on Arts and Humanities, where I ran a grant called the Public Art Building Communities, and also the Murals DC grant, where we place murals throughout the city and also temporary and permanent public art displays. And in my role now as the assistant curator and exhibition manager at Mason Exhibitions Arlington, we're one of six galleries of GMU, and I have the really great opportunity to engage international artists, intertwine with super smart faculty, and develop exhibitions on social action art. And I've been here almost 2 years.
Wow. Wonderful. Well, thanks for that intro. So let's dive in here. So there are many programs that Arlington, Virginia, and George Mason University put on during the course of the year. But in the next few weeks, the annual Arlington Art Walk will take place on October 5. Can you first tell us a little bit about what this is and how can people participate in it?
Sure. Yeah. So this is again kind of something that I brought to Arlington when I came to start this role last year, kind of using my toolkit of activation from our all night days. It was really a way for me to get to know my neighbors, get to know my colleagues in other cultural venues, and also find ways to exchange and grow, you know, our footprint here. The gallery has been here, it'll be 2 years in November. And, you know, so we're still a new space, new gallery, looking for ways to market ourselves and let folks know that we're here. So I was, you know, looking for that, the exchange of cross promotional marketing opportunities with the other venues. So we're looking forward to doing this again in October.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And yeah, it's exciting times to have this as, in, you know, only really 2 years in and stuff. And so excited to have this as a growing event. In general, how do programs like this help to bolster the arts and the creative communities in a place like Arlington, Virginia?
Yeah. So there's always, you know, a lot of studies done on creative economy and the return on investment of arts. And I'm sure, you know, there's 10 reports from all the bids nearby, and I'm sure the Arlington Economic Development has some great surveys and studies on the return of investment of arts. It's not only just a feel-good experience. There is a definite connection between revitalizing a neighborhood, you know, placekeeping, placemaking, for art to be a mainstay in that development. A lot of urban planning that kind of goes into art development with public art. And I really like how Arlington County does a great job of infusing when a new development is underway. That's a lot of time there's like, you know, a certain percentage of either community space, art space, kind of built in to that requirement. So it's really revitalizing opportunities for artists to showcase. There's always a need for space for artists to make, to create, to exhibit, to share, to workshop. And places like these are ways to elevate that.
Yeah, definitely. And so that's a good segue. I want to take a step back, perhaps. Creating great centers of arts and events and creative communities is important in and of itself. But also, I want to talk about how building arts communities can also contribute to the larger community, which includes things like businesses, employees, certainly residents, visitation, things like that. So Arlington, Virginia is home to many types of businesses. For those less familiar with the area, everything from small one-location stores and restaurants to the headquarters and the regional headquarters of large organizations like Amazon, Nestle, and many more. For those smaller businesses, what's the effect of a program like the Art Walk?
Sure. So even looking at past Art All Nights, you know, I really did have to make a case back in the day for art to be a mainstay. That traditionally the Art All Night and Arlington Art Walk are, you know, after hours events. So, you know, there's a need to open later, keep staff here, you know, and do all that. But it's a way for us to find new ways for us to engage with folks. Maybe they're working during the day and can't visit us, you know, during our opening hours. And so in the past, I've seen an economic rippling effect of these festivals and events from, you know, folks. So there's eight plus venues that are going to be a part of the Art Walk in October. We're all very near small businesses like restaurants and bars. That is an immediate benefit for the patrons and the businesses. You know, folks are having a good time. They're out. They're on foot. They're walking. They're seeing versus being in their car. So they're really being able to see the retail spaces, what's, you know, on these ground floors, maybe even on the second floor. And, you know, with maps and guides and partnerships, we're able to really hopefully bolster small business. Each art venue is a small business in itself. So we're, you know, partnering and aligning us with opportunities for us to send folks each other's way.
Before we continue, I want to make sure you know about my other podcast, the award-winning show about marketing strategy, technology, and the customer experience, and building the brand of the future. It's called The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom, and in it, I talk with leaders at some of the world's top brands, the MarTech platforms that are leading the way, and other thought leaders in marketing, CX, and digital transformation. Now in its fifth year with over 400 episodes and 1 million downloads, make sure you check it out, with new episodes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. To listen to the Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom podcast, you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can go to my website at theagilebrand.com. That's theagilebrand.com. Now let's get back to the show. And so what about some of those larger businesses? As I mentioned, you know, Amazon, Nestle, not to mention the large consulting firms like Booz Allen, Deloitte, all have presences here. Some are headquarters, some are regional headquarters, local headquarters, things like that too. How do programs and really investing in the arts and arts communities help those kinds of large organizations?
Sure. So, you know, art has a lot of tangents. We did an exhibition recently that looked at the environment and art. Like, you know, there's a lot of intersections in which art can touch. And right now on the corner of that Kirkland and Fairfax Drive, right next to the Makes Square campus, there's a new development called The Fuse underway. And it's a 345,000 square foot building. And it's going to be a digital innovation center aligned with a new program, a new school for computing. And they're going to be pairing and aligning students and projects and businesses together so that while students are learning these cool new things like AI and, you know, all these engineering things that are way above my head and pay grade, that will, you know, really align these students to be able to use art, innovation, technology. All of these are very intertwined. And so really making these students and businesses aligned with opportunities for, you know, future markets. I know Amazon has a stake in that game a little bit too, and really bringing a lot of knowledge sharing to this practice. And, you know, I'm a Seattle girl. So, you know, for me, the hubs are Amazon again, Boeing, Starbucks. It's really kind of cool to see this developing. You know, I really see this kind of tech sector happening to be built here. And I absolutely think that art and technology are aligned.
Yeah, definitely. And so that what you just described, that speaks a lot to the value of the arts to the businesses themselves, and whether that's in innovation or creative inspiration and other things like that. Talking a little bit about, you know, we've obviously been through a lot of different phases of hiring and talent challenges over the last few years. It's probably the topic of a whole other show, but what about the employees of these organizations? You know, because they're at work, obviously they're helping to drive some of that innovation, but they also live in the communities and they want certain things in the places that they live. So, you know, how does the thriving arts scene help these organizations attract and retain talented individuals?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, art is a cheap date, and, you know, we're on the ground floor of a retail space in the lab to the apartment building and on the corner of Fairfax and Monroe.
Metro adjacent. Yeah.
Yes. Crazy. I'm at the Metro right now. I can see it. So very accessible. Nice. But so there's a lot of Amazon employees in the building. And so I see a lot of young Amazon employees that are very interested in the arts. They are new to the area. They want to design and make their homes beautiful. So they are patronizing the arts in that regard as well. But you know, they're young, you know, and we do a lot of programming here, so they could come on down and, you know, visit the neighboring establishments and come here for a cheap date.
Nice. And what about the businesses themselves? What's the best way, or what are some of the ways that the businesses themselves can support the arts? And, you know, again, given that it's in everybody's best, it's in their best interest from an innovation standpoint, it's in their best interest from a talent attraction and retention standpoint, you know, what are some ways that those businesses can and maybe have already supported the arts?
Yeah. So, you know, being a good partner, I am always looking, and seeking opportunities to engage and collaborate. We recently had a wine tasting with Northside Social as they expanded their gallery at the location. They brought a wine tasting to the gallery here. So really it's just, you know, be open and not always looking at it as a transaction. It's, you know, it's community outreach, it's resource sharing, and maybe it's in-kind trade, you know, things like that that are kind of encompassing a more neighborly experience so that, you know, we can work to support each other. I wanted to also add that as to support the arts here as a business or as an entity, we also do a lot of skill sharing and workshops. So I'm always looking to engage with local community agencies, artists, and experts to enhance topics that we're exploring for each exhibition. So the exhibitions range again from all over. We have a whole meridian of topics that we like to kind of foster and house our ideas under for themes of exhibitions. So it could be a plethora of skill share. So we're also here to be a resource for folks to share their knowledge.
Wonderful. So George Mason University in Arlington County, Virginia, have also made diversity a critical part of the business and the community landscape, which is another way that Arlington, Virginia is unique. Can you talk about how this is incorporated into the programming that you're a part of?
Yeah, sure. So our exhibitions always focus on a social art practice with hopes that our programming is a means to create dialogue and thought-provoking and to educate folks and walk away with a possible new foundation on that topic that we're examining for each exhibition. So for us, you know, diversity, inclusion, access, equity goes into all of our programming. It's very essential. And so in our next upcoming exhibition, we're diving into the topic of disabilities. We'll be featuring seven disabled artists in varying forms. After that, we'll be going into incarceration. So diversity is not an element of segmentation for us, but expanding access to others that are underserved and not fully embraced elements of our society. Our past exhibitions have honored, like I said, environmental struggles, motherhood, and artists that are moms, violence against women, and Afrofuturism.
Nice. That's great. So you mentioned some of the programs that are upcoming. Any other programs of note that you wanted to mention that the organization runs throughout the year?
8 million.
Well, we only have a few more minutes, but yeah.
I know. I'll narrow it down. So in general, like I said, you know, we have tons of programs here that are with each exhibition. We have a curated library as a part of each exhibition as well. But we have a dedicated Murals at Mason program where not only Mason students from the School of Art, but it is a for-hire mural service with the city of Fairfax, the Manassas Airport, a transportation project of Fairfax have hired Murals at Mason to produce murals. My colleague Jeff Kenny runs Visual Voices, which is open to the public, but it's a super deep dive artist talk and learning exchange of varying forms of practice. We also have a a gala event fundraiser thing called Art by George, which really showcases the talent coming out of a college of visual and performing arts. So really showing kind of what's coming out next from the school and what the students are working on. Jamie provides grants for projects for the students to fund a recording so they can be famous. Nice. And then, you know, I'm always down and looking for interns and volunteers. I have volunteers come of all ages. So if anyone wants to come hang out with me at the gallery, please come on in or give me a call.
Nice, nice. Well, Alyssa, thank you so much for joining the show. One last question before we wrap up. I mentioned at the top of the show the Arlington Art Walk. I wanted to give an opportunity, you know, for those that are in the Arlington, Virginia area or may be in the area, where can people learn more about the Arlington Art Walk on October 5?
Absolutely. We're going to have updates on our website, masonexhibitions.org, and Instagram, Mason Exhibitions. You can also visit the website under the events section of the Arlington Economic Development. And then there you'll see a map and the full list of participating venues, which are ARC 3409 Art Studios, Arlington Art Truck with Good Neighbors with artist Michael Verndon, Arlington Public Library, there'll be a maker studio, Cody Gallery of Marymount University, Fred Schneider Gallery of Art, and yours truly, Mason Arlington, Mocha Arlington, Northside Social, and Wino. And if you are in town before October 5th, we invite you to experience our opening reception of Disrupt and Resist, a love letter to the disability community on what showing up for each other can be. That would be September 9th. Our neighbor, Mocha Arlington, will have an opening as well. So the neighborhood will be popping with art things. Ed Mason will be having a pop-up shop by Arlington Weaves, which is a program supporting individuals with disabilities. The participants have learned to weave and make awesome woven art handcrafts that are totes and scarves and beautiful things. So hope to see you on September 9th.
Wonderful. Well, again, I'd like to thank Alyssa Maru, Associate Curator at Mason Exhibitions Arlington, for joining the show. You can learn more about Alyssa and Mason Exhibitions at George Mason University, as well as the Arlington Art Walk, by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to the Innovation Economy Podcast, brought to you by Arlington Economic Development. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes at www.innovationeconomy.show or on your podcast platform of choice. The Innovation Economy is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, let's keep innovating.